Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1. The heading here is Isaiah's vision of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the foundations of the thresholds shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? And then I said, Here I am. Send me. Now let's say our scripture declaration together. Lord, we honor your word to us. May your truth become our heart's pursuit and our life's practice. Heavenly Father, as Pastor Randy comes forward to deliver the word that you have set on his heart for us to hear, may our hearts be open to hear from you through him today. Amen.
Thank you, brother. As always, I appreciate you. I'm going to take just a few moments very quickly and share some things with you guys before we get into the message from Isaiah chapter 6. But please leave your Bibles open. Leave your apps open and all of those different things. Let me ask you guys a question. How many of you guys are struggling with the crud? Any of y'all in here kind of, all right, well, I heard from a few different people that this is something that just is holding on and it's just not really letting go. So if that is true, I definitely can attest to that. If I have a coughing fit, I'm going to try my very best to bring it all back together. But I keep thinking I'm progressing and then I get a little choked up and have a little difficulty. But I just know, hopefully, that is getting kind of more and more in our past, and we will all kind of get a little bit more healthy over the next few weeks. Now, I just want to share a couple of things with you. Excuse me. And Colin, if you don't mind, let's go ahead and go to slide number 33, and then we'll move forward from there. I want to share a couple of things because I don't want to miss the opportunity to talk a little bit about this. I shared with you guys these past couple of weeks, and Isis was here to speak about the fact that she is going to go to Ethiopia, and Peter is going to be going as well. And so if you would like to participate in sending them and helping them go, helping defray some of the expenses, it's an expensive trip because it's a long flight there and a long flight back, but they will be in Ethiopia for a number of days, not just sharing the gospel, but also they will be going and participating as they raise up some leaders there. So even when they leave, there will be leadership training that they have done and participated in. And it is something that helps us to set up for the long term to be the blessing there in Ethiopia. And if you'd like to participate, you can give by just simply scanning that QR code. Or if you'd like to make a donation via check or via Zelle or PayPal or whatever it might be, that's coming towards the end of service. We'll talk about that offering. But you can also place that in the pillar as you leave today and just simply mark that as the Robinson's mission trip. And we'll make sure that they get that opportunity to share as they're going. Now, I also want to just share with you that we have a baptism that is coming up Sunday, January 25th. We're excited about that, and I know that one person had definitely mentioned to me that they were interested in me having a conversation about this with somebody with their younger child. I'm interested and able to do that, but we also have another candidate for baptism as well, Miss Edie. We're excited. I'm excited for having the opportunity to baptize Miss Edie this Sunday, January 25th. So a couple of Sundays from now, we will be having baptismal service, and it's always a blessing that we have an opportunity to share those special days with someone. Now, I also want to just talk a little bit about some of the Mexico drive totals. And I shared some of these with you last week, but I know not all of you were able to be here. I know some of you were still traveling and doing other things as well around the holidays. But let me just share a couple of these things. And then I want to take a little bit of time to thank some people who have played a huge role behind the scenes that you probably are not aware of. So I talked a little bit about how we had the white envelope gifts. Four gifts each for 34 different people times $20 equals out to about $2,700. Now, I would just say this. I'm so proud of you guys. I don't see the gifts until we get down there to Mexico, which we did this past Sunday and Monday. And when we go and we are sharing these gifts with people, they start opening them. And they open their shoe boxes, and there's like a brand new pair of Nikes. So it's almost embarrassing that I put down that it were $20 per gift, because I know some of y'all spent some serious money. And you did that for the orphans and the workers there. And I just thank you so much that we go down there, and I say this all the time, that we go down there to get all the hugs and the appreciation and all the love from them for the work that you guys have done. And I just want to reiterate that we don't take that for granted. We go down there, it is a blessing, but it is awesome to be able to go down there and see these kids sharing, you know, what they got. They hold up these, you know, shirts and they say, look at this shirt, and all of this just joy that you help provide for these kids because they've gotten something with their name on it in their size. It is very special the way that we do it. And we go to a lot of trouble to make sure that it feels very special for them. And so Eric is actually going to be sharing a video next week. You don't want to miss it. It will be the king size, but we're previewing it today. But there's at least $2,700 that was spent by you guys out of your own pocket as you bought for the kids. There is also the silent auction plus some financial donations that were about $8,900 that you participated in, that you gave, that you purchased, and all that. And so the drum roll that I should have just asked for a minute ago, $11,628. And I'm telling you, we told them what the totals were, and they were just absolutely blown away. Can we give the Lord a hand for a great job? A great job on your part, and a great job that the Lord has provided. And again, I say, we go down there, and we're the recipient of so much of the things that you guys have done and enabled us to be a part of. So this was not our absolute most that we've ever given. It was our second largest, but it was the most cash that we had given. And so we're very, very grateful for those of you who are participating and being a part of it. Now, I want to talk about some of the people, and I didn't do this until today for a very specific purpose, because a lot of people are traveling, and I don't know that you know what's going on behind the scenes. But I'm just going to call out a couple of people, and I'm going to shout out, beginning with Frank and Roseanne and their participation in the silent auction. So let's hear it for Frank and Roseanne, a.k.a. the church mom, you know, and her husband. But thank you, guys, because I know what you do all year long. You participate in this all year long. And then at the very last quarter of the year, your house turns into a storehouse. And you have baskets everywhere. You build those things. Y'all take tons of time to make that happen. And we appreciate it so much, because without it, we don't do the silent auction and we don't raise this kind of fund. So you guys and your efforts are such a blessing. We appreciate you making this your ministry, and you're blessing those kids, and I know it. So thank you so much. Let's hear it for them one more time. Now, I also want to shout out Miss Rosie and Miss Elena, these two ladies. Ladies, can y'all wave at everyone back there on the back? Let's hear it for these two ladies. These two ladies have the gift of shopping. And I know that all of y'all want that to be a spiritual gift, but these two ladies have it. And they have done a lot of purchasing towards our silent auction and gone way out of their way to be a huge blessing. So, ladies, I thank you. I know that y'all are a huge part of what we're doing. And you probably are not as known for what you're doing, but I know, and most importantly, the Lord knows, and nothing you do for Him is ever forgotten. So, ladies, thank you so much, and I appreciate you. God bless you. Now, I also want to mention also the Youngs. And if you don't know about the Youngs are some folks that make things go around here every single week. Like, the reason that we were able to celebrate communion is because the Youngs got here and prepared communion for everybody. Every time we do that, they're doing that. If you love the way that things look during the holidays with all the beautiful poinsettias, the Christmas trees, the incredible Christmas tree that you probably got a family photo next to, they do all of that stuff. And so I thank the Youngs for all that they do behind the scenes, and also a ton of work on the silent auction. Alicia goes through and makes sure that all of the gifts are set out and making sure that each child gets 4 gifts, not 1 or 2, not 12 either, you know, so we get it very evened out. And then Scott does all of the silent auction online. And if that was ever going to happen with me, oh boy, we'd probably get arrested somewhere along the line and nothing would work. So thank you, Scott. Thank you, Alicia, for everything that you always do. Will y'all wave at everybody? God bless you guys. Thank you so much. Y'all's ministry is a huge blessing. Now, I also just want to mention a couple more real quickly. Y'all notice that the Bethlehem Inn is still here. Eric Teague built that. Now, are y'all impressed with Eric? I'm impressed, buddy. Great job. This was wonderful. Kendall and Kenya both just a wonderful job with the kids and their efforts making sure that the play was wonderful. And we just appreciate their consistent effort with the kids, but also especially here around Christmas time. All right. If I've missed anybody, I apologize, and I can't necessarily keep going, but I thank all of you for all that you have done. All right. So, Colin, if you don't mind, jump to slide number 1, and we're going to run through an incredible passage of Scripture talking about the new beginnings and talking about today's title, The Real King Never Left. Now, I'm talking about new beginnings, and I think it is especially true of our world today. Since we last met, there's been some crazy things going on in the world. This is not a political statement. I'm not going to talk about any of those things, but I will just mention to you and remind you that there's a guy down in Venezuela who's had a new change of address. Right? So let me just say this. For most of us, we look around and we think that that is where the power lies, whether it's in the palace of the king and the dictator down in Venezuela, or maybe at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue or whatever it might be. But here's what I would share with you. Those are temporary kingdoms. Those are temporary thrones. But here we see a brand new beginning of a new year. And I'm here to remind you that the king, the real king, never left the throne. Amen? And so whatever happens in our world, we don't have to worry about who is in control of this world. Because sometimes it feels like the world is spinning out of control. But I just want to share with you, if you'd like to go a little deeper, you could read the book Resilient by John Eldredge. It's a great book, really, really highly rated. It's on Audible, and you can follow along and learn a few things as well there. But let me just share with you from Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. This is our new beginning for today. Last week it was the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. You remember? We talked about how the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time, giving us a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a 55th chance if we need it. Because God is constantly begging us for a new relationship and a new beginning to begin anew. And if you are here today and you're far from the Lord, I want to encourage you that you don't have to pay a penance. You don't even have to speak to me by any stretch of the imagination. I'm available. But here's the most important thing that you could do. You could get on your own knees and speak to the God who loves you. He alone is the mediator between God and man. And He alone forgives sins. And He says to you, I seek after you just like I sought for Adam and Eve in the garden when they were running from me. And so I share with you today that as we begin a new week, a new teaching today, this is our reminder. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne. I didn't see King Uzziah there. I didn't see his replacement there. I saw the Lord sitting there, and he was high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. What we know about King Uzziah and what was written here in Isaiah, I just want to share a couple of things for you to learn. Isaiah was a prophet in Judah. That's Israel's southern kingdom, receiving his commission from God here in Isaiah chapter 6. And it happens in the year that King Uzziah died. That's 740 B.C., we know. So Uzziah had ruled as a godly king for 52 years. Now, he had a terrible event at the very end that marred his reputation and his legacy. And I won't go into all of that, but for 52 years, he was a good king. He ruled over a time of great prosperity, reigning with military might throughout the region. And when Uzziah died, there was great fear that anyone who'd follow him would not follow his godly example. Uncertainty and fear reigned among God's people. Now, I don't mean you, but I'm here to tell you that there are God's people that are still afflicted by fear and uncertainty today that need to be reminded that ultimately, whoever is ruling in our temporal world takes a back seat every time to the God who always sits on the throne, and the real king never left. He never left. He is still with us. And so let's remember that this new beginning is just a reminder of what we already know. And then secondly, this is something else to learn. Isaiah was a prophet at a time when Israel divided into two kingdoms. You can come and listen on Wednesday nights if you'd like to know more about that. Shameless plug. All right. And the southern kingdom was called Judah, the northern kingdom called Israel. But check this out. Israel had 19 kings in 208 years, and every single one of them, God called them evil. Judah wasn't much better. It had 20 rulers, 19 kings and one queen, over 344 years, and only eight of them were people that God called holy or good. So this highlights that King Uzziah's stability and godliness meant a lot to Judah. It meant a ton to the people. And so as Isaiah says, on the year that he died, I caught a vision of God. And I saw that it wasn't King Uzziah who had given us peace and prosperity and all of the things that we had attributed to him. It was actually God who was seated on the throne high and lifted up. If y'all are with me, give me an amen, okay? And so it's God's people that need to be reminded that ultimately whoever we put our faith in for now, it is always going to and needs to take an extended back seat to the things that God is doing in us. Now, don't miss this. When Isaiah expected to see the throne empty because King Uzziah had died, he instead saw the King of Kings was still seated on the throne. And whoever God allows to rule for now, God will never, ever abdicate the throne. He is always the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. He will always be the one. And above God stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two, he covered his face. With two, he covered his feet. And with two, he flew. And one called to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called. And the house was filled with smoke. So let me just share with you, this is one of the most beautiful examples of worship in the entire scripture. In Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through 8, it is absolutely beautiful. And it reminds us of how great God is and how exalted he deserves to be and how small we are. And the truth be told, in 2026, in our modern Christianity, we get it twisted a little bit. We put ourselves above God way too often. And I'll just go a little deeper and maybe make you a little more mad at me. The truth is that when God doesn't answer our prayers the way that we want him to answer or on the timeline that we want him to answer it in, we tend to distance ourselves from God because he didn't live up to our expectations, as if God needs to ask our permission for anything. Somebody's going, ooh, right? Yeah, that's the truth. That is the truth that we don't think about very often, because the truth of the matter is that we often look at God as there to supply our needs and do it in the way that we want, in the timeline that we expect, and God says, I'm not going to be doing things on your timeline. As a matter of fact, real truth, you will only be happy when you get on God's timeline, even though you don't believe it. The truth of the matter is that for most of us, if we got everything that we wanted, we would just become more spoiled, more frustrated, and more aggravated, and more demanding. So we just got to be very careful that we don't get it twisted, that we are not the ones in charge, but God ultimately is. And so here, as Isaiah, a very, very holy man, sees these angelic creatures, and let me just share with you, this seraphim, how many of you guys have ever heard of cherubs or cherubim before, right? So seraphim are a different type of angel, and it says that basically the name literally means the burning ones. In other words, they were probably visually fiery in some way. And they were there to proclaim Yahweh's holiness and glory, establishing them as cosmic witnesses to God's transcendent nature. Listen to this. They're typically associated with the throne or the dwelling place of God, positioning them at the intersection between the divine realm and the human perception of that divine realm. In other words, they are a marker that shows that you're entering into the presence of God. One commentator said, it's incredible that at the crux of worship, they cover who they are, head and feet, but then they have two additional wings that they use for work. In other words, two for worship, another one for worship, so four for worship, and then two for work. And there is a balance between our worship of the Lord that ultimately, if we worship first and then work for who we love, it is very different than if we work so that we might earn the love of the one that we worship. It's very different. And I don't have a ton of time to go deep on that, but it is important for us to hear that. So let's just very quickly hear about this holy and awesome God, and let's talk about what He is saying to us. Again, I shared this at the very beginning of the message, at the service today. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past, because see, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. God is doing all that He can to eliminate any barrier between you and Him having a brand new start. Let's keep moving here. John Eldred said this, disappointment of living life can very quickly become disillusionment, and disillusionment makes us extremely vulnerable to our enemy. In other words, if we keep pursuing the wrong things, and yet we're trying to ask God to get on our page, we can become very disillusioned very quickly. But then he says, we must lovingly shepherd our thirst back to the source of life. I shared this with you last week, that ultimately, the thing that we thirst for and want here in this world can never be satisfied by the things and the people and the possessions and the pleasures of this world. But instead, they point us towards the God who alone can satisfy. But for most of us, we never go further. We never go deeper. We never say, this thirst reminds me that I am not complete in and of myself. And that's when we usually turn to someone or something. But what we should be doing is turning to the God who made us. And when we do, we find the ultimate good of God, and it changes our whole perspective. Now, let me just keep sharing this. This is the big idea. When our world seems to be out of control, when we can't find peace anywhere, God alone brings us peace. Can you guys say this with me on the count of three? Ready, one, two, three. When our world seems to be out of control, God alone brings us peace. Before I go any further, I just want you to know that if ultimately you can't find peace, if you're struggling to find peace, I'm here to point you to the one who is the ultimate. Everything else will bring you nothing but emptiness eventually, no matter how good it is. Now, I've shared with you guys before, I've been married to my beautiful wife for about 35 years. Now, that is a lot. That is a woman who is a saint. Can I get an amen on that? Right? So, here's what I would say. whenever I have a longing to be with my wife, whenever I have a longing to be in her presence, it reminds me that ultimately I have something that is needing to be fulfilled. But can I tell you, no matter how good she is, and she is a great woman, she's the best woman I've ever met, she is not the thing that can ultimately bring me satisfaction. And I'm telling you, I love this woman more than anyone else on this earth. 35 years, that's not even counting when she dated me when I was 17, right? I mean, that's really saying something. I know y'all are thinking, you dated at 17? Yes, 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 I know. You thought we got married when we were 4, but no. Why are all of y'all laughing so hard? Here's the thing. When I'm looking for peace, Shelly can help me, but she does not provide me ultimate peace. I'm looking for fulfillment. She can help me, and she's an important part of my life, but she cannot speak to the very depth of my soul. And guess what? When we're on the outs with one another, I know who's on the throne, and it's not my wife. It's not even me. It is the God who never left the throne. And for most of us, we're so busy putting somebody else on the throne or something else on the throne that we cannot worship the God who alone brings peace, comfort, and safety in a crazy world that we can't seem to get our footing on. All right, so let me just keep going here. My people have committed 2 sins. They have forsaken me with the spring of living water. They have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. I want to go a little deeper than I did last week, but let me just say this very quickly. A well has water in and of itself, and it constantly replenishes. That's why Jesus said, I am the living water. You guys with me? A cistern is a container that holds water, and Jeremiah, in a very vivid description, calls everything else that we might seek a broken cistern. And how many of you know that it'll hold water for a little bit, but eventually the water will leak out if it's a broken cistern? What does God say? He says, you have forsaken a well for a cistern. You have forsaken something that replenishes day by day, by moment by moment. Also, you can hold on to what you have, and then you realize it's empty, and you don't know where to turn. If this doesn't describe us in 2026, where we've ever had more than we've ever had in our lives, and yet we still feel more empty than we've ever felt in our lives, I don't know what it could possibly be. You cannot walk away from the source of living water and not pay the price. So I share with you, do not be like what Jeremiah says here. Let's not forsake the spring of living water to dig a broken cistern that cannot hold water and ultimately always leaves us empty. I'll share more about this with you in the next week or so. Let me just share this with you. Let's go back. Here's what Tony Evans says, and it's just amazing. I just wanted to share it. It's a little bit lengthy, but hang with me. It's a very crucial point in the history of Judah in the year that King Uzziah dies. And he says, I saw the Lord seated on a lofty throne, and the hem of his robe filled the temple. So although Judah was experiencing turmoil at the death of its king, the true king was seated on the throne in sovereign glory. Isaiah thus learned that the kingdom of God operates according to God's will, not according to outward circumstances. If you embrace this kingdom principle, it can change your life. Thus, God is still in charge, and it's critical for Isaiah to grasp, because the death of Uzziah was a personal tragedy as well as a tragedy for his nation. Now, let me stop. I don't know what 2026 is going to hold for you, but for some of you, it will hold a personal tragedy. Why am I saying this now? Why am I sharing this? Why am I going deeper on what Dr. Evans said? It's this, that when that hits, you will want the spring of living water to be there to restore you. You will look to cisterns if that is what you have pursued. But I encourage you now, whatever 2026 holds, let it be something that you have already prepared for, because you said, these things are resources for me, but they are not the source for me. The source for me is my God and my relationship with Him. and I will not pursue anything else more than I pursue the God who has made me. Amen? Okay, so Uzziah had been a good king who brought Judah a long way back towards God. But they had had a national revival, and they were hoping that it would keep forestalling God's judgment, but God had another plan. And to make it real to Isaiah, the Lord gave him an incredible vision. Of course, Isaiah knew the Lord before Uzziah died, but the point is that Isaiah didn't really see the Lord until Uzziah died. Sometimes people are in our way from seeing the real source of goodness, truth, and love in our world. Never get it twisted. It is always God. The king was dead, but the king was alive and well. So here's what I want to just share with you. I'm just going to have to keep moving here, but let me just share this with you. Here's how we begin with a new beginning. It begins in our worship of our Lord. And first, we begin as we see God as He truly is. And secondly, we see ourselves as we truly are. In other words, when Isaiah says, I saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of His robe filled the temple, I saw these angelic, sinless beings covering themselves because they didn't have what it took to stand in the holiness and the presence of God, even though they were sinless, which, by the way, y'all ain't, right? Neither is your pastor, okay? We are not able to stand in the presence of God. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. And so these beings worship Him so much so that they cover themselves and sing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. So we see Him for who He really is, and then we start seeing ourselves for who we really are. What does Isaiah say? This beautiful, wonderful prophet who is truly a man of God, he says, I said, woe is me, for I am lost. The Bible here uses a word in Hebrew that could be kind of described best as maybe I'm undone or I'm unraveling. I'm coming apart at the seams because I'm in the presence of God. That's how powerful His holiness is and how heavy it weighs upon me. And so as he's saying this, I'm unraveling. Probably the most holy man in the entire nation of Judah at this time says, I can't stand in the presence of God because He is too much for me. I'm coming apart of the seams because I've seen who He is. And I shared with you last week, and I can't go too far into it, just simply because of time. But for most of us, our problems seem so big because our God is truthfully so small. But the larger that we can allow God to grow, the more our problems will diminish and cease to be big deals. Because for most of us, we have so much focus on this world and no focus on the next that we can't keep things in the right perspective. All right, so let me just share this with you. He says, woe is me, I'm lost, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. But my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts, who sits on this throne. And then here's the important thing. That true worship is a call to reassess the way that we view people in our world. The way that we view our possessions that God has entrusted us with. The way that we view pleasures that we pursue. The problems even in our lives begin to take a different shape and a different size whenever we give them over to the God and get a right perspective on who He is and how powerful God is. Let me just keep going. This new beginning in worship is seeing God as He truly is, seeing ourselves as we truly are, and then we begin to see our world as God sees it. Folks, way too many of us as Christians resemble the world far too much. We're just like all of the others outside of the walls of the church if we're not very, very careful. And so I encourage you not just to let it be different in your pattern of life, but also in your pattern of thought. That the people in your world that you do not agree with are not people that are worthy of your disdain or walking away from them, but instead worthy of loving them, caring about them, and seeking to be in relationship with them and learn from them. I know that that's not popular in our very, very divided world, but that is a truism that God's Word says. You will know we are Christians by the love that we have for one another. I'll give myself an amen. I know I'm pushing you, but I want you to hear. This is the truth. What does Isaiah say here? He says, basically he says, one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin is atoned for. So he receives atonement, but then comes an assignment. It is an atonement first, and then an assignment that he receives. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Who will go for us? And Isaiah, not because he thinks he's great, but because he knows that I answer when my God calls. He says, here am I. Send me. Here am I. Send me. Whatever I can do or can't do, I don't know, but here am I. Send me. He is atoned, but he is also assigned. And folks, you haven't truly worshiped if you don't grasp that you need to be atoned for, and then you listen for the assignment and follow that out. For many of us, we're cool with the atonement part, but we will not live on assignment for God. And God says, no, it's not one or the other. It is both. It is atonement and then assignment. All right, very quickly, here's some big questions as we end and bring this to a close, and then we're going to talk about how you can apply this message. Does your life resemble a vibrant river of life? Jesus says, those who follow me will come to have streams of living water flowing outward from their life. Does your life seem that new? Does it seem that replenished? Does it seem that hydrated, right? Is it truly living water flowing from you, or is it just a small stream of God's grace here and there? Today is a great day to ask yourself that question. And in question, do you see God as the true king in your life, or are you more worried about what you see on the news channels than what you hear from your scriptures? Because for many of us, it's very easy to get it twisted. And then thirdly, how do you view others, as God's children or as your enemy? You know, we have been atoned for when we were undeserving. So now we continue to move forward in an assignment to be those who love no matter what those around us. Very quickly, how do you apply this? I encourage you, use your phone for good, not for evil, right? Set an alarm to connect with the river of life every day. When that thing goes off, 3:16 is a good time. Now, I wouldn't recommend it in 3 a.m. I would not, but 3:16 p.m. is a good time. It just reminds you of the God who loves you enough to give his only begotten Son. And then you can say, you know what, Lord? I've been so busy, I've forgotten that the river of life is there to renew me. Renew me, Lord, right now where I am. I'm here in my cubicle. Lord, you've seen what's happened today. I need some renewing because right now it feels awful far from the life that you want me to live. Lord, just change me. It's just that simple. And then you can set an alarm to make sure that you've served somebody else daily. That could be a simple act of kindness like sending a text or holding the door or going out of your way to say, hey, listen, I really appreciate you because I noticed this about you. And there's so much that you can easily do that would literally take less than 30 seconds, but there is so much of a devoidness in our world. There are so many people that their life just does not have anything positive. But wouldn't it be great if they knew that you as a Christian were bringing that about in their life? It's easy to do. It's just being intentional about it. A new beginning doesn't just happen and grab you. You know, but can I say again? I'm stirring something brand new up. Do you not perceive it? The truth is that your perception of whether or not you grasp what God is trying to do and bring into your life is going to be the lid for whether or not things really change for you or not. Worship Him. Lift Him. Let Him atone for your sins and let Him assign you to be a part of changing this world. Here am I, what? Send me.